Hi, good morning, everybody. I guess the first thing that I always ask is, what do you think this workshop is about? Because what they put on the term they put down isn't necessarily what it is. So I'm just curious what people think it's about. It's the interactive part, guys. Okay, good. Well, that's most people usually aren't. That she's not sure. That she's not sure what it's about.
It's about how your children change when they're most different.
Okay, somewhat.
What I thought, especially in behavior.
Okay. Anybody else's thoughts? I'm asking what people think that this workshop is about, because it's a little ambiguous, the title.
I thought maybe it was about,
okay. Anybody else? Thank you. Since this is a parenting workshop, thank you so much. Hi. How are you?
Thank you for the information.
No problem. Did I do it right? Okay. No problem. Thanks, Alma. Bye. Okay. Yes, basically it's a workshop on teenage sexuality and how we as parents learn to deal with that and what that means. And a lot of the innuendos that come with it, a lot of what they're going through, what we don't understand. So I'm going to try to give you the context of the workshop first, and then I really want to open it up because I think our discussion is what brings a lot of information to everybody. Okay? So first thing is, I always want to thank people for coming because it's Erev Purim in the morning. It's crazy. It's hectic. And it's hard to come and to be able to sit through a whole morning of these things. But it's so important. And I'm glad that you all came. The subject of helping our adolescent children explore their developing sexuality is really, really important. We don't always want to deal with it, but it really is important. This is a huge topic, and I'm only going to deal with it in very, very broad strokes. I'm not getting into the nitty-gritties. I'm not getting into exactly what you should be telling your child and what you shouldn't be telling your child. That's a personal parental decision. Hi. It's okay. That's a personal parental decision. But we are going to be talking about... Well, we are going to be talking about teenage sexuality. We're not going to be talking about sex. I don't want anyone to get nervous. We're not here talking about sex. We're talking about sexuality, which are all the changes that happen, all the things that happen to our children as they become teens. I'm not looking to make anyone uncomfortable. Usually when I start, I give these lectures all over the country. And usually when I start and I talk about what this is about, I usually have three or four parents that quietly sneak out the door. And that's fine. I'm not looking to make anyone uncomfortable. It's just teenagers are going through an individuation process. They're learning to separate from us as parents, to go through the process of becoming adults, similarly to leaving the womb and coming out into the world. It's painful for them, the first birthing process. They just can't tell us about it. It's painful for them, the second birthing process. They're much more vocal about it. It's painful for us, both birthing processes. It really is very difficult, because we don't always know what to answer them, we don't know what to do with them, we don't know how to handle them. And they are confused, they're hurting. I say to parents all the time, please understand, your teens are not just trying to be difficult. They really don't understand what they're feeling. They don't understand what's going on inside of them. And they look sometimes to us, sometimes elsewhere, for help in understanding that. So they go through all these physical, emotional, hormonal changes that absolutely shake their world up. They just don't know which way is up. Most of them don't understand what's happening. And the problem is a lot of times we don't understand either. It is incumbent, and I use that word because it really is so important, on us as parents to talk to our children and guide them through this time. If you don't understand it, if you don't understand human sexuality, if you don't understand all the changes, if you don't understand emotionally what's going on for them, go read about it. Go find out. Ask. Go to these kinds of classes. We have to know what our kids are going through so that we can help them. I'm going to mention this, even though it should be a given, but I am going to mention it. I'm thrilled to see there are a couple fathers here today. it's really important that not only the mothers deal with this. Okay, very often, go talk to your mother. I know that, I remember when I was growing up, that was, you know, my father was not involved at all in any type of sexuality discussions or any of this. And I know that dads today are much more involved and much more aware, and that they, of course, would not just say, go talk to your mother. But it really is crucial. We have found that it is so crucial that fathers educate themselves about teen sexuality and understand that while the relationship with your son and daughter may be changing, they need you guys now more than ever. You're their male role model. I know it might be scary, but you are their male role model. Your daughters look to you and then are going to project that image onto every boy she meets. Furthermore, when she's in shidduchim, this is her male role model. And your sons look to you to know how to treat a woman. You need to talk to them. You need to listen to them. You need to be available to them. And even if you want to, you can't lock them into their rooms until they're 20. You can't just make it go away. You have to really be there for them. Of course, and I'm being honest, that I understand that for many, many adolescent girls especially, the thought that their father would have any clue that they're actually maturing is like horrible. It's mortifying to them. You know, they don't think that their father sees that their body has changed. Or, God forbid, he should know they got their period. That's like the worst, you know. I will never forget one time, my daughter, and they know I tell stories about them, so I don't use their name, so it's okay. But my daughter, you know, said to me, I need stuff, I need pads, I need whatever. And all of a sudden they appeared, but I was still at work. And she called me up on the phone and she said, how did these get here? She goes, don't tell me Daddy bought them. I mean, I thought the child was going to, she really felt like I had betrayed her. So I understand that girls. So back to this question that the gentleman asked. Kids have been maturing and developing and having hormones for centuries. And we've chosen to ignore it or not ignore it for centuries. I don't know about many of you, but my mother didn't sit down and talk to me about my developing sexuality or my hormones. I think she gave me like a book, you know, before when I reached a certain age and said, here, read this. You know, there was no discussion. She certainly never went to workshops about it. And parents either did or didn't speak to their children about this topic. So why the interest now? Why is it that I literally go around the country? Last year in Eretz Yisrael, I gave a workshop on this in 10 different places. Why now? Why is everybody so worried now? So I guess my comment is, in case anyone hasn't noticed, we're not in Kansas anymore. Life has changed. The world that we know, then they'll learn it from the world out there. And trust me, none of us want that. I don't think this is just about a Jewish versus non-Jewish perspective or a frum versus non-frum perspective. When I was growing up, the world had some sense of sneeze. There were things that were acceptable and there were things that were unacceptable. There was a way a teenager acted with the opposite sex or with the same sex, and I'm going to talk about that. And there was a way not to act. You know, we got to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to use your seichel in order to know how to do this. But I am saying that both parents absolutely positively should be giving affection. Absolutely. The other piece is... Oh, go ahead, Steve. Yeah, sorry.
I just want to add, because on my house, I have children who are 13 or 15, and very especially the 13-year-old. So his parents will be jealous. Because I say, oh, come on, yeah, yeah, little mom. But I know he enjoys it.
Right.
He can never admit it. And my punishment for hugging him or getting him kids is that he comes to you're not allowed. So that's another
indication
that he's that. 100%.
I always teach them, like, you know, you're my babies,
and I love
you. And
they like it.
Yeah. 100%. I've never had a teen in my office who will tell me, because some of them will complain, like, oh, my mother, you know, she needs a life. She's always wanting to hug me or to kiss me. And I'll say, oh, you hate it, right? No, they never say that. They'll roll their eyes and say, you know.
But I let them pretend.
Right.
I let them pretend,
which is great.
And
it does work. And you're keeping up that connection. Because, again, the kids need this affection. They need the physical contact. And if they don't get it at home, they will look elsewhere for it. Now, it doesn't mean...
I'm very
act kind of rap, like constantly hugging and kissing and slapping and doing, and A, because they've already realized that they accept this perfection, and they get it from their camaraderie, and B, for the ones who already know that they're not homosexual, know they have nothing to do with sex, they have to love and eating it.
Agreed. So again, you're going to have to figure out what works with your family. I don't have time to like first sit down with one kid and sit down with another kid. I have two older teens and then two like younger teens. So it used to be that the you know, I had a little time with the younger teens. And when the older teens, when my son would come home from base measures, then I would sit with the two older ones. No, usually together because they like that also. And it's interesting because my son now is an Eretz Yisrael. My daughter's gotten very used to that it's her time, and my husband's joined in a little bit when he's home because he works at night a lot. So when he's home, he'll join in. And the truth is, it's very interesting because she said to me the other night, you know, he's coming home in 3 weeks for Pesach. Does that mean he gets right back into this, or is it private now? I said, oh, no, we'll have to negotiate that out. We'll have to see. But they do get used to the rituals, and it's not like they always want to talk about things. They like to kvetch, they like to whatever it is. And as you know, it later on it gets to the point where they don't need to necessarily talk about anything. They just need to know you're there. And if they know that you're there, it helps them to be able to turn to you if they're confused about something. You know what? It's not necessarily, we don't have a set thing. We don't. There are times, Tuesday night I work late. I work till 10:30. It's the only night that I work late. Usually Tuesday night when I come home, she's waiting with the tea because she hasn't seen me. And the others are in bed already. So it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But it depends. You have to just see what works, you know, what works for you. And it was also my way. I got her to drink green tea, which I thought was really important. So, anyway, okay. So, we know that sexuality is on their minds. We know that our kids spend a lot more time as teenagers on the phone, right? Did anybody notice that the phones don't belong to you anymore? I'm not here. I try not to be very preachy, but I do not believe in younger teens having cell phones. I really, 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 really don't believe in it now. I'm preaching anyway, but because I feel like you're opening the door for them to be able to do things that they're not really ready to do, or have access to people that they're not really ready to have access to. I believe that I understand certain kids have to travel and things like that, but I really feel like until a kid is 17. I even try to push it till 18. I don't see a reason for the kids to be carrying around cell phones. I just had to say it because I really believe that we open the door for trouble. The other piece is the internet. I don't know how many of you have the internet. I'm not asking. If you do have it, make sure it's in a public place. If you think it's not a problem because my kids are restricted on everything, your kids know how to unrestrict anything that you restrict. Okay? They're very savvy, these kids. They're very smart. The internet is dangerous. I hate the internet. If I could just abolish it, I would. I get crazy when my kids' schools assign things. You know, when a Beis Yaakov assigns an assignment that has to be done on the internet, and I'm like, so let me understand the chinuch here. You're saying that this is bad, but I have to have it because we have to do work on it. No, it doesn't work here. There is so much. You know, a kid types in. I mean, this is the famous one, but you know, a kid's doing a report and types in White House. Right? You've all heard this? Okay, it's a pornographic site. Anything. Thank you. But most kids don't know to type in .gov. They type in .com. They learn fast which way.
What they're supposed to do, where they're going.
Or they learn fast that they can find anything they want and be very intrigued by it. Again, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that we need to be aware. We need to know. Believe me, don't misunderstand me. I don't live in a bubble. My children don't live in a bubble. I'm just saying that we as parents need to know what's out there. We need to know that their hormones are raging. They are intrigued. They should be intrigued. That's where they're at. But that there's so much garbage out there that it just pulls them in, and sometimes they can't get out of it. It's very hard once you see some of these sites to not go back and look at it again. So I just urge you to be careful. The internet should, if you have it in your house, should be in a public place, in a place where people can walk by at any time. know what your kids are doing. If you have AOL, you can always tell who they're talking to. You can contact AOL, and you can get listings of who they've been IMing and talking to. Check on things. I'm not saying that you should be spying on your kids. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying you have to be careful. There are really dangerous things out there. I have already dealt with from girls who have been stalked by I don't know who they are, because they get a hold of their screen name and they get to them and they talk to them, and it's very scary. And remember, these are kids who are at the height of exploring their sexuality. Okay, go ahead. But nobody has to know if they're going on the internet. In other words, if that internet is in a private place, or they go on that internet at night after you've already gone to sleep, nobody has to know. If they're in a bookstore, somebody could see them. If they're in the mall, somebody can see them. Here, nobody knows that they're doing it. They can keep their persona out there and then be doing something else inside.
I think the most people do what they do and they move on. I don't think anybody's doing it. Anyway, Matt, I think the motor went to me today, so it's not a problem.
Okay, so it's fine. I'm saying, as parents, all I'm saying is that we have to be aware of it, and that we have to do what we need to do, and we have to be open with our kids. And
what do you suggest?
Well, again, that's interesting, taking your modem to bed. No, I understand. But I believe in talking to our children a lot, as you could hear me say. I believe in educating them. I believe in scaring them a little. I do. I believe they need to know what's out there. And I believe that they need to be very, very aware that everything has a risk. You know, there's a cause and effect for everything. And that they need to understand that while this may be exciting and it may be interesting, and I'd be very honest, if my kid is so interested in understanding about sexuality, I'd rather buy them a book and bring it home for them and take a look at it with them than let them go onto a website. Yes?
I was actually recommending having tea together.
This tea became a big thing.
From what they're doing, homework or whatever, is it more practical that they shall suffer together, that everybody eats supper, to schedule it at the same time?
So that's a very interesting point. My next workshop is on stress and time management, how to have enough time. I don't know about in your house, but nobody in my house comes home anywhere in the same vicinity of time that's a possibility. I'm being very honest. You know, this one has mishmar, this one has production practice, this one goes to school till this time, this one goes to school till that time, this one has chesed on that night, this one, you know, there is just no opportunity to be able to do that. We try to have supper together one night a week, I mean, besides Shabbos, because otherwise the Friday night table, that's a whole other discussion, becomes crazy. But we try to have a family meal at least one night a week. And even so, sometimes it's absolutely impossible.
We have it every night.
Well, yashikach. I'm really serious, but it's very hard. Go ahead.
Speaking of hormones and everything, so
yeah.
You know, boys having girlfriends, girls having boyfriends, and yeah, it's very normal. Like my son says, it's normal. Would you have any be gay with my friends or girlfriends there?
So
he's
I.
Gay. He's right. I don't have a girlfriend. So, but what? How do we?
So as I said when I first started the talk today, I'm not here to tell anybody what to do for their own family. I'm here to say that if your child is more active with the opposite sex or the same sex or just themselves getting to know their sexuality, that as parents we need to understand that, and we need to understand what they're feeling. We need to educate ourselves about it. I have to be very honest, is that there's probably language that your kids will use between themselves or the opposite sex you wouldn't even understand what they were saying.
I got to learn it. Yeah.
Okay, you need to learn it, okay? I there are words that were never used. Everything becomes new, and a lot of it comes from the rap world out there and the hip-hop world and all those other things, and these are the words they use, so we have no idea what they mean. People don't talk about, you know, going first base, second base, third base anymore. That doesn't exist. Okay, I once said it to a patient, and she's like, what? You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm not being cool here. I got to learn more. And what they talk about today is much more important. But as parents, if you're okay with your child, and I'm being very straight and honest with you, if you're okay with your child, you know, having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you need to understand that oral sex is something out there that is like nothing anymore. Okay? And you have to be prepared to talk to your child about that, whether it's a boy or a girl. You need to understand what the pieces are and what the ramifications are. So yes, it is perfectly normal. And yes, our kids say it to me all the time, well, wasn't it more normal when people could just go to the pizza shop together, or people could at least like see each other? It's not for me to comment on the community and how we do things or whatever it is, but the reality is, as parents, we need to be educated so that we can talk to our kids in whatever space they're in. That's what's very important. Yeah?
You talked about cause and effect, and part of educating them in whatever realm they are would be to tell them, you know, the consequences. But teenagers tend to feel invincible.
Absolutely correct.
How do you...
I keep talking anyway. Because the reality is, well, first of all, because eventually I get to say I told you so. And that's very satisfying. No, but kidding. I'm really kidding. I never tell that to a teenager. But the reality is that if you keep talking and you keep doing it in a non-judgmental way, in a mutually respectful way, in a way that validates their feelings, in a way that you say to them, listen, I know you feel like nothing can happen to you right now, but I need to let you know from the other end of it how I feel. You can say that. And they may listen and they may not, but it may plant a kernel back here somewhere that they can use. If you don't talk to them at all, they will feel like you don't care, you don't know, you don't get them, and they will look elsewhere for it. That's the most important thing. They will look elsewhere for it. Our kids take risks very often to get our attention, right? We all know that. And if we don't give them our attention and we don't pipe up and talk to them about it, then the risks get greater and greater and greater. So that while some of them will take risks with their clothing a little bit, and this is all hormonal, this is all sexual, their clothing or their hair a little bit, or, you know, like with the girls, testing the sneeze levels, exactly what it means, if it's the skirt is when you sit or it's when you stand, or if the socks are this high above or not, or exactly what everything means, then... No, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. Then if we don't notice that, then they get a little bit more. Okay? And boys also. Boys the exact same way. When our kids start to take those risks, which are normal and sexually appropriate for teenagers, it's part of individuation, we just need to take notice. We need to be able to talk about it with them without them feeling embarrassed or us feeling embarrassed. I tell parents all the time, practice in front of a mirror or talk to your spouse, you know, knock it back and forth between each other, whatever you need to do so that when you talk to your kids, they see that you're comfortable and you really hear where they're coming from. Yes?
Get to the nitty-gritty. You're not comfortable. Your kid now tells you something that you like. You never did it. Now you find out she's doing it.
Okay.
Okay, so how does the parent like get ready for it?
So that's very interesting, because the last part of this is what happens when you find out they're doing something you're really not okay with.
Yes.
First of all, when they ask you something that you're not comfortable with, I don't know a better way to say it. First of all, you can say to them, you know what, this is something that's really hard to talk about. It's not something that I ever did, but obviously it's something that's important for you to talk about, so I need to get comfortable. You're my child and I love you, and I'm going to have to figure out how to get comfortable talking about this. Doesn't mean I have to get comfortable and be okay with you doing it necessarily.
Okay, but Lamisa.
Okay, Lamisa, you find out that they're doing the wrong thing. Okay, you find out they're doing something that you don't approve of. First thing is, it should not be the end of any relationship. It should not be, you know, the breaker of a relationship if your kid is doing something. Basically, you know, you find out that they have a boyfriend, they have a girlfriend, they're going out with someone, they're whatever it is, or even more. Don't make quick accusations, first and foremost. Nothing will throw a teen into more risky behavior than a parent making accusations. Don't play policeman. Don't play detective. Don't call all their friends to try to figure out exactly what they're doing. This will not work. All this will do is say, you don't believe in me, you hate me, you don't care about me, and I'm going
to
go elsewhere with my behavior.
It's important to conditionally love me, because you only love me if I do what you
want. Right. Right, right, you're right. Okay, so I have a list of like 6 things to do if you find that your child is doing the wrong thing, whether it's sexually or otherwise, but I'm dealing with sexually. Number 1, calm down and wait. If there's a problem, it's not going to run away, and anger will not help any situation. I always say when I teach parents in classes, you have to discipline immediately up until age 5. You have to wait a little while between ages 5 and 10. And in adolescence, the longer you wait and the more you calm down, the better results you get. Okay?
So,
when your child does something very wrong, and you're not reactive, but you calm down, you think it through, you think about the consequences of what they're doing and how exactly it's affecting you, you think about whether you're upset because of what they're doing or how it's going to reflect on you, the longer you wait and calm down and think it through, and then you can talk to them as a person, the better results you'll get. As opposed to a two-year-old, when they do something wrong, you have to address it right then and there. Because if you wait even 5 minutes, you've lost it. You might as well wait for the next time. Okay, number two. Parents should discuss the issue together privately first and present a caring and united front. And if it's not possible, if parents, either their parents are divorced or parents are not united on this, then pick which parent is going to deal with this, but don't split. Don't, you have to back the other parent. Don't do the conquer and divide thing. And don't make it uncomfortable for children to feel that they're in the middle of your crisis, so to speak. Number three, discuss this with a child, with your teenager in a calm way at a quiet time, not when the siblings are around. If something is going on, something that's going on for them, you want to model for them that you respect them, that this is not something that just, you know, okay, I'm making dinner, come talk to me quick. Okay, yeah, no, Yankla, don't do that. No, okay, grab the phone, someone. That's not it. You give them the respect to discuss this in a quiet time and behind closed doors where nobody's going to hear. Ask your child what's going on with them. Don't say, what did you do? Don't say, how could you do that? Don't say, I can't believe you did this. What's going on with them? How are they feeling about things? Are they confused about anything? Are they curious about anything? Is there something they'd like to talk to you about? Because you're there to talk to them. Don't get into a power struggle with your child because they're being bad. Depending on what's going on, it needs to be addressed in an appropriate manner, but always with love, not contempt. Okay? Teenagers are truth barometers. They know if you're really loving them at that moment. They know if you're really angry at them. And it's okay to say, I'm having a really hard time with what happened, but I love you and we have to figure this out. That's okay to say. You don't have to say, this is great. Wow, I'm so glad we had the opportunity to talk. It's okay. Be truthful, but not, I can't believe you did this. How could you do this? I can't believe you did this. What are we going to do? If you say things like that, you will send your child into shutdown mode and they will no longer come to you or trust you to help them through things. Tell your child that you're there for them. That if, even though they may be confused, sad, curious, taking risks, whatever it is, that you're there and you have to figure it out. So what happens when your child says, okay, I really like this girl and I really want to go out with her, but the school's going to kick me out and this isn't the way we do things, but I really like her. So you have to say to your child, I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the perfect answer. We need to keep talking. We need to figure it out. And we need to figure out what to do in order to make this work for everybody. We have contracted with the school. We have whatever. Talk about the fact that there are responsibilities. You see, kids, a lot of times, if they feel you're on the team with them, they can listen to reason. But very often, parents aren't necessarily being so reasonable. I have parents and kids in my office all the time because they feel like they can't have the discussion at home. They need me as the referee a little bit. And it is hard.
Not a little bit.
A lot. Yes.
So what do you think the kid tells you that nothing's wrong with what I'm doing? Either everyone's doing it or nothing's wrong. Chill out, nothing's wrong. You know, what do you tell them?
Well, it's not tell them. See, I believe in asking them for more information. Okay?
So what is... I'm 18 already, it's not your business.
Well, if a child is 18 already, I was talking from 10 to 18. I mean, legally, you don't have a leg. I'm being honest, there isn't a leg to stand on, so to speak. 18, they're usually out of high school already also.
Okay.
You want to sit down and talk to them, and you want to say, I'm not challenging you. We're on the same team. I understand you must really like this girl. I understand that you're feeling very much a need to be with this girl. So let's talk about how is this healthy? How is this working for you? And as parents, we have certain boundaries and rules in our house. Let's figure out how we can make everything neat. This isn't a one-time discussion either. It's an ongoing discussion. And that if your kid feels that you're being respectful of them, they will tend to be respectful of you. Okay? So you're not saying, I didn't say that you're doing anything wrong. I'm saying let's talk about it. Are you being responsible? Are you treating her well? You know, like talk about, even try to open the discussion in other ways. Yes?
How do you do that when you're like a full family and your child is having a sexual relationship and you're like trying to give them the things of a workshop It's okay, I understand. They know it's not okay. It's not in their system of the way they grew up. It's against halacha. They know it drives you crazy.
I have to be very honest, and I it's hard for me to say this. I'm not sure that there is any system anymore. Because there's so much pulling our kids out there, every family has to kind of negotiate their own way. And you have to kind of get through and see how to play it for each child. Okay? You may have some children. Oops. Okay. We have to stop.
I mean, you got a few seconds, I'm sure, but okay. First of all, I just wanted to thank everyone for coming. I want to make sure that everyone knows that tapes will be available after the second session as well as after the keynote. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you
don't
have a house, don't you
get
anything?
Don't you
say what goes on?
We still have the evaluation form.
You absolutely have a say. But as I said, if you create a power struggle, you're going to lose. I'm being very straight with you. The world out there is such a draw that if you create boundaries at an early age, if you do the communication piece like I talked about, if you're open with your child about these relationships from an early age, there will be a mutual respect. But if a kid feels like, you know, there hasn't necessarily been communication in the way that they need it, or if a kid feels that they're feeling angry about something, or they're feeling a need to act out in some way, or whatever it is, you have to understand that at times, yes, there are rules in the house, and then good communication can hopefully keep boundaries between what happens in the house. But kids do a lot of stuff out there without us even knowing about it. I mean, that's a reality.
Do you have a thought on the fact that in our relationship we don't show so much affection to couples and parents? And the kids don't see, and they're learning from like romance movies and books and stuff. Do you have anything to say?
I have a lot of thoughts on it, but I have to marry off 4 children, so I'm going to not say anything.
Your own relationship is fine. What do we do?
They're feeling a need to act out in some way or whatever it is, you have to understand that at times, yes, there are rules in the house, and then good communication can hopefully keep boundaries between what happens in the house. But kids do a lot of stuff out there without us even knowing about it. I mean, that's a reality.
Do you have a thought on the fact that in our relationships we don't show so much affection to couples and parents? And the kids don't see, and they're learning from like romance movies and books and stuff. Do you have anything to say?
I have a lot of thoughts on it, but I have to marry off 4 children, so I'm going to not say anything.
Your own relationship is fine. What do we do?
Can I say something?
Sure.
The session is now over.
Okay, one second. We're just, last person just commenting, then we're stopping.
Why is it a bad thing to show affection?
I guess I never thought it was their business.
It is one of the most crucial things that you can do for your children.
Really?
It is one of the most crucial things you can do. I'm not talking about making out in the kitchen. I'm talking about showing some... No, there's a difference between showing normal affection and good intimacy and making out in the kitchen. But honestly, there's something very much in the middle of that. And I think it's crucial, and I think that we are not mechanech our young couples or anybody to be affectionate and for our kids to see that, and it's crucial.
Oh.
Thank you everybody for coming. The session is now over.